He's a member, in fact, he's chairman of Dundalk Photographic Club, who's recently picked up prestigious international awards in Spain and Austria, some of the highest accolades that can be bestowed upon any photographer. And I'm delighted to welcome him to the Late Lunch this afternoon. Gabriel O'Shaughnessy, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm not exaggerating to the listeners when I'm surrounded with works of absolute beauty, and I'm going to talk about those in a moment's time. Can I ask you first, where did it all begin? Do you remember when you picked up the camera for the first time?
I do actually, yeah. And the first camera, I remember buying, the first camera I actually bought myself was a little Hanama, sort of a Instamatic camera, film of course. And from them early days, I did have kind of an eye for photography, I suppose. Like, I never chopped off people's heads or any of that. And although I wasn't aware of photography as a hobby at the time, I was certainly aware of photography within my surroundings, you know, advertisement, billboards. And my initial draw to it was to photograph the stars in the sky and get some sort of a camera that I could leave the shutter open to photograph the movement of the stars, something which I've never actually done. But that's what drew me to it. And then I moved. In the early years, I was sort of transient in my job as in London and around Ireland. And when I came back to settle in Dundalk, I found out about Dundalk Photograph Society. So I went along there, done a beginner's course, and which still runs today. Actually, they're on again this week. I'd done a beginner's course. I didn't come back the following year. And in 1996, I came back to the club, and I'm there since.
So it's been a start off way back, progression in your own way, and then involvement with the club.
Yeah.
You mentioned your first camera there. My word, Gabriel, hasn't photography changed in your time involved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's incredible to change, and it's still evolving even now, you know. Like, we recently, last year, Dundalk Photograph Society produced a fantastic book celebrating 30 years of Dundalk Photographic Society. And you know, a couple of years ago, we wouldn't have imagined that a lot of the images in that book were sent, you know, through cyberspace.
Over
we didn't know what cyberspace was.
Yes.
You know, but some of our members that were in America and stuff, they were able to upload images to a site and we could download them to the site and print it and produce a fantastic book. You know, so the concept of that wasn't even there years ago. In 1999, I had the money saved up for a darkroom, to buy a darkroom, and I had virtually had a deal done with somebody. And it was a digital presentation by Sheldon Photographic from Malahide. And he came down to the club, done this, and showed us how it could be done. At that time, there wasn't really much emphasis on digital capture as a digital camera, but they were using scanners to scan the negatives and get the files onto the computer that way. And we were saying, wow, that's amazing. So I had to ring the guy up and say, listen, I'm not going to buy the darkroom. I'm going to hold off. And I saved up for another year, and I bought a computer. Didn't even know how to plug it in, and I bought a scanner and a printer, and, you know, I haven't looked back.
So the digital era beckoned then for you, but it just showed you how quickly things, and fair dues to you to spot that the change was coming. Everyone feels they're a photographer nowadays. Do you, you know, being a member of the club and that, and you pride yourselves on the great competition you have, and you're renowned throughout this country and beyond. Do you think there's anything wrong with that, where everyone feels they have their mobile phone at this now and they're snapping at everything?
No, quite the opposite. I think it's fantastic. You know, and you see it in the membership of the club. And I know the recession, one of the good things about, I always look for positives and everything, one of the good things about recession, a lot of clubs, a lot of people that I know are involved in all sorts of clubs, cycling, photography, whatever, their membership is going through the roof. We've had to close our membership this year. And, you know, and that is to do also with the access, the easy access. Now, the mystery's gone out of photography for a lot of people. So there's a lot more people who might have been creative in other ways, you know, into graphics, into computers and that. So they've come aboard now and are able to embrace the whole photography medium, you know. So it's been fantastic that
nothing
way.
Nothing wrong with it, absolutely
nothing wrong.
What about these awards? Congratulations to you. I want to say that again, because you have picked up the most prestigious award that can be, as I said in the introduction there, award to somebody. Just tell us about them.
Yes, well, it's something I probably don't like to overly talk about.
No, come
too
on,
much,
you're here today.
I love photography so much, and I love the challenge for me in photography is to produce pictures that I like. For me, first and foremost, and like, you're the first judge of the picture is yourself, you know. And when you're able to assess a picture and say, God, I really like this, for me, the next step is to put it out there around the world, around the big salons and stuff, to see how it goes there. So when you get word back that you've achieved, like, these salons typically would have maybe 15-20% acceptance rate, which, you know, is 80% failure rate. You want to look at it the other way. So to get an acceptance is fantastic, but to get into the awards is amazing, really. And you know, I'm lucky that you know, I have a good eye and I've done well, and partly because of probably my own skills as a photographer, and but also due to the level that the club is at. You know, a lot of the members in the club do extremely well. And you mentioned earlier off air there that the region, the northeast region here, is very, very strong. In fact, I don't remember how many years it is since a club outside this region has won the National Photographic Championships. Usually it's either Drogheda or Dundalk.
Isn't that fantastic to say? You're a very modest man. Yeah. I'm saying that to you, and you're really holding. You never even answered my question. You didn't want to mention these awards, but I see what you're saying. It comes from you first. You do it because you love it. But certainly that competition within the club, is that a vital factor, you know, in attaining the standards that the clubs have achieved?
Well, the competition itself, not directly. The standard will come from looking at good images. The competition for me works in that it cracks the whip, if you like, for me to produce images. You know, one of the downsides of the digital age is that people leave images sitting on their computer, never see the light of the day. Where, you know, before you got your snaps back or whatever, people were less inclined to leave negatives lying around, you know, undeveloped. So the competition basically gives me deadlines. Okay, there's a competition coming up, I better support the competition, get stuff in, and that gets me going. And once I sit down in front of that computer and I'm in a creative mood, I start, you know, coming up, and every now and again you'll come up with an image to say, well, I like this one, that's going to do well. And that's the magic of it. But it's certainly the standard in the club is sort of the driving force. And become used to good standard, you'll say, well, this won't do that well in the competition, I need to improve it or whatever. And certainly in the early days, that's what will improve your photography.
Two goals you got in Spain, two goals in Austria, and I know you don't want to focus on that, so let's move on to what you brought in here today. I look around the room of what you have around me here, and it's predominantly black and white. Do you like black and white more than colour?
I love black and white, but I also do like colour as well.
And I have a beautiful colour image here, and I picked this up, as you can tell the listeners, because of my angling interest.
Yeah, he lit up when he seen this one.
I did light up, I have to say. It's the beautiful picture of a dragonfly, and the colourful dragonfly, if you know them, the big colourful bluey greeny creatures that fly around the margins of ponds and water in the summertime, and it's sitting on just a single blade of thick grass, if you can imagine it. And the detail, Gabriel, on this is magnificent.
Well, that was one morning I went out for a walk along the river, local river in the Féin, and I was actually going out to see, could I spot any kingfishers, is what I was doing. And of course I noticed the dragonflies, and there wasn't much happening as regards kingfishers. So I just changed the lens on the camera. And it's a little bit like fishing sometimes, photography. It's a waiting game as well to get all the ingredients right. And just like you correctly pointed out, the shape of the leaf there, which is very attractive in the picture. And it's just coming up from the left-hand corner, curving around the centre of the image, and then coming back down to the right-hand corner. And right sitting on top of that leaf is our friend. And I was lucky in that... Well, I was lucky, I suppose, in that I waited. The harder you try, the luckier you get. But I did wait for about an hour or more, and this guy just landed.
But look at it, the proportions, dead centre, the way you bring in the leaf. Yeah. I have to say, it is just wonderful. Now, your daughter features in some of the black and whites here, and I just want to pick up one here. She's in this one here, and talk me through that one. That's your daughter and a friend of hers.
That's my daughter, and our friend Charlotte, they're school buddies, but also friends outside of school. I had that idea, it's sort of inspired by the famine and the old Hessian and that's around the two girls. I set it up at home, and my good wife Maureen done the makeup, which is basically just blackened up their faces and stuff. And I set the girls up, and again, photography works well with the use of lines and diagonals, and you can see there's a nice diagonal line coming from the bottom of the picture right through the two faces and out on the top of the picture, which compositionally gives the picture strength. And then the other ingredient then, of course, is the lighting and that's used.
The eyes. And the eyes. Gabriel, their eyes haunt me as I look at this picture. But you would think that was an image from the famine times. Yeah, like you've recreated that. Yeah. What's your daughter's name?
That's Aoife.
Oh, you better give Aoife a mention. You'll be shocked.
Well, Yes, if I don't mention Aoife, but I'd be even shorter if I don't mention Ciara, because Ciara is just out of, and she features in some of the other shots you'll see here. Ciara's using a hairdryer there to just give some movement. You might notice the movement on the hair.
Yes.
And she's just out of shot. So, and my wife is holding up the backdrop at the back. So it was actually a family effort. So we got great celebration out of that.
And that, but did that win an award?
That has won lots of awards.
I can see why, because it's magnificent. Now, another one caught my eye as well, and it's colour this time. And it's the one over on the right hand side there of two people in the distance walking on the beach. Now, you can see, if you know when the tide goes out and the little rib that are on the sand, there's a mist on it, the sky, and is that the sun in the background there?
That's right, yeah.
Is that, was that taken morning or evening?
That's taken in the morning.
The very early morning.
Now, I have to say that the sun is created in Photoshop. It isn't actually, it's just a very slight glow in it that would suggest it is the sun. I get Grace, that's my two daughters as well, by the way.
In that one.
Yeah. Now they're very, very small in the image. It's just they're in the far off distance. But as Jerry's saying, the tide was just coming in, and you had basically a little section of water leading again from the foreground right up to where the images are off in the far distance, and there was quite a bit of fog as well.
Oh, I'll tell you, I'd buy that and hang that in my room in the morning. To be honest with you. Explain this one. Here I have a picture here of, is that a gentleman or a lady?
It's a lady.
It's a lady sitting in her seat, and there's, is that a crocodile or an alligator beside her?
Yeah, it's a, it's an alligator.
Where was that picture taken?
It's taken in Trinidad de Cuba. I do a little bit of travelling sometimes, and that was in, it was a 200-year-old house that was built sort of halfway down the hill. It was one of the early houses built in Trinidad by the Spanish. And that lady was, she was the cook out the back. She was preparing a meal for us. And I just spotted the rocking chair and that. And I just asked her, would you come in and sit there in the parlour?
And so this one is dead.
The crocodile is dead. Yeah, most people say, is that thing alive?
It is a real alive.
One. It was actually a family pet. And they have another one out the back in a cage now. But that one, they took him in, obviously, and they got it, you know, they got it treated and that and stuff. And it's sitting there on the floor in the parlour beside the old lady. And again, the colours of the dress and the floor and the green in the dress and the green, it's all very complementary, which again gives the image added element. And all the religious artefacts then that's around the room, you know, to suggest that there were Catholic family that was there. There's four or five crucifix. Behind me, there's also two pianos and a pool table in that room. It's quite a large room, and big sort of garage style doors that open up. And the hill, the house was placed on the hill to catch the breeze coming over the hill that would keep the house cool. And it was, that was sort of pride of place for the place.
Do you know what,
house,
do you know what I love? Look, we could talk forever and time beats us as usual, but I love your proportions, and I love the way that doesn't happen by accident. That takes an awful lot of work, and I know that. But it's wonderful. I'm not surprised you have been recognised internationally with this wonderful work. Just before you go, for anybody listening today, as you said, there is a beginner's course. Is it still? Is there still time to get in it with the?
There is actually, yeah. Just Thursday, like last Thursday night was the first night, but a lot of that's taken up in enrolment. So it is, you know, if you catch it this Thursday night, no problem. Come along to Dundalk Photograph Society in Seatown in the Gaelic League Hall there.
And where to from here? Onwards and upwards, more awards, more shots.
Yeah, I just love doing what I do, and you know, just hope God spares me long enough to keep going at what I do. I love it.
Have you an exhibition coming up, or have you anything planned?
Well, not a personal one, no, but Dundalk Photographic Society has an exhibition every year, but we also have been invited to take part in a cross-border by Shared Heritage Ireland. It's a Loud and European initiative, and that's taking place in Carlingford in December. And there'll be more about that later. Maybe we'll get a chance to come on and give it a plug. But we're
for
delighted
certain,
to take part
I'd be
in
delighted
that.
To have you back again. And I'm just saying to you, go for the exhibition, will you? This is only a sample of what you
That's
do. I'm sure there is some great joy, more great joy to be brought to a wider audience. Gabriel O'Shaughnessy, congratulations. Well deserved. And thanks for joining us on the Late Lunch this afternoon.
My pleasure.